What's up, everybody? Zach Watovich here.
Charlie Burtwistle here.
It's the Building Code.
It's the Building Code.
Charlie, you're buzzing right now.
Yeah, a huge episode today. We'll get into that for a bit, but I wanted to make sure I was on my A game. So I did drink about 4 cups of coffee this morning. I was like, I can't be yawning during this. This is potentially the performance of my life, and I have to be ready to go for it.
That's right. He walked in here. He was already talking trash. He was, you know, taking swings at me for being a little bit late. It's Valentine's Day. We're coding on Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
That's not why it's special. No, not that we're not fans of Valentine's Day.
Of course. It's all special for that.
We've got an even more important event, which is a guest today.
Yeah.
Tell our listeners about him.
I would call it our biggest guest, both figuratively and literally. John Walker, our CTO at Builder Trend, just joined Builder Trend about 9 months ago. I said biggest because he is 6'9". He's very, very fit. I don't want people to think that I meant anything about his weight. He's actually a very ripped dude. Very tall, very ripped, very smart.
Some genetics are better than others.
Genetics are better than others. But no, huge guest. And why I'm so excited to have him on is he is a big fan of the Building Code. So selfishly, if someone tells me they like stuff that I do, I was like, oh, I want to hear that more. So
if anyone ever questions, you know, why the podcast, it's like, well, our CTO at this point
listens to it.
So I feel like we just are, you know, we're doing a responsibility, really. It's an obligation. Yeah.
So excited to get John on here. I think it will be a good, you know, typically we try to do interviews with people in the industry doing construction. I know we branch out sometimes, but I think that his vision for Builder Trend and the way he goes about things here internally will really resonate with our builders, our remodelers, anybody in the construction space, any entrepreneur. Obviously, he has a very, very impressive background. So I think it will land well. I'm really excited for it, not just for us to get to talk to John, but for our customers to get to hear him.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Let's not mess around any further. Let's get him in here. Hey, John, welcome to the Building Code. Insider people tell us that you're our biggest fan, and it's exciting to have you on today. How are we doing?
Oh, I'm great, and I am a huge fan. I actually looked just for fun before this, and I have just listened to my 77th episode of the podcast. And I'm sure there's people who've listened to more, but I've been listening for about 9 months now, so I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, it's very impressive. I think you are probably right up there with like Zach and my moms. They claim they're the biggest fans. So we may have to figure out the count. I don't know if my mom's listened to 77 episodes. So it's very impressive.
My mom doesn't miss an episode.
Wow. But does she go back and listen to old ones?
Oh,
that's what John's doing.
Yeah, I don't know, actually. John, you're going through the whole catalog, huh? Like you started back at the beginning.
Yeah, I listened through all of like 2023, and I keep up with the current ones, obviously. And then I started to go backwards and start from the beginning. And yeah,
I'm sure the quality has only just increased, especially when these two, you know, young guys really jumped in, right?
No, I've said this to you guys before, and we don't want to get too meta podcast about the podcast. I think you guys do a great job. I think for me, it's probably the second best way I can learn about the industry and our customers. The best way is just talking to customers directly, which I do a decent amount of as well. But it's really just a valuable learning experience for me. And I learned so much from you guys. I kind of have like a warm spot in my heart the same way I do for like my favorite elementary school teacher for both of you guys.
Wow. We're like talking about fundamental memories here.
Yeah.
I love to hear
great. Obviously, Zach and I know you very, very well. Joined here at Builder Trend about 9 months ago. But for those people out there that are not lucky enough to know you, we love to start out each episode with just brief little intro about yourself, kind of your career journey, and then ultimately how you ended up here at Builder Trend.
Yeah, Builder Trend is the fourth company I've been the CTO at, and I'm a computer scientist kind of my undergraduate degree is in economics, and then I got a graduate degree in computer science, and so that's kind of my background. And I'm also very entrepreneurial, so I've done a number of startups. The first two companies I was a CTO of were acquired. And then the last one was probably the biggest success. It was a company called AppFolio, and it went public. And I was a co-founder of that with a good friend of mine named Klaus Schauser, and was there 17 years and left to come to Builder Trend. And it's a public company. You can look up the ticker symbol. It's APPPF. And Yeah, I guess the way I ended up at BuilderTrend was I had met the founders, Dan and Jeff and Steve, a number of years ago, kind of just because AppFolio did property management software, so it was in kind of a similar space, and we met them when they were a little earlier on, and had a good discussion with them. And I had heard one of our old CFOs, her name's Ida Kane, joined the board at BuilderTrend, and she said they're looking for a new CTO. Would you call Dan and give him some advice? And so I did that. I wasn't really thinking of leaving my baby back then, and I called and gave him a bunch of advice. And then fast forward a couple months, and it looked like it, I was just ready for a new challenge. And 17 years is a long time, and the company was in great shape. And so I told Ida, "Hey, I'm probably leaving AppFolio." And she said, "Oh, you need to call BuilderTrend. They're still looking for a CTO." And so that's kind of how I ended up here.
That's an amazing story and really interesting perspective of where you just like call a CEO and, have no idea you're going to end up working there. And here we are. I know right away you made a big impression in the building. Your experience is kind of unprecedented as far as what you've done in your career. One thing I've always thought, John, I'm curious, like your story is actually really similar to a lot of our builders, maybe not at the same scale. Is that why you've kind of stuck in the small business space, that entrepreneurial mindset? Or, like, well, how do you connect kind of your story to our customers today?
Oh yeah, that's a great question. I definitely, when I was looking for the next opportunity, I was definitely considering lots of things. And I think what was really attractive about BuilderTrend to me is, we have this saying, we want to change the way the world builds. And I'm a software engineer, so I'm not like curing cancer or anything like that, but I want to have my little impact in the world. And it's hard to find a place where you're impacting something that touches everyone's lives in a bigger way than home building and home remodeling. And so our customers are just having a big impact on maybe like the most important part of everyone's lives. I think that really inspired me. I thought, here's a way where I can, in my little way, have some impact, and almost indirectly, right? It's our customers who actually do the work. But if we can help them be more successful and more efficient, that's really inspiring to me. I will tell you, yeah, I do love like kind of the small businesses. And this is, I think, one thing I didn't know 100% before I came is our customers are just, they are a lot of like family businesses, second and third generation. And not only that, even the ones that some of them aren't, they're very giving people. There's a lot that builders give back to their communities. And a lot of that I hear actually on the building code, and it's just really inspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. I think what you're hitting on, Zach and I talk about on the podcast a lot, is like after talking to, it's nice to be able to see the direct impact you have on our customers and then the impact they have on the world. And I never am more motivated to go back and work than after an episode of recording the building code and being able to see that impact directly. Anytime someone asked me, like, why are you still doing the podcast? And I was like, if you want me to work harder and be a better employee, I need to be talking to our customers directly and seeing the impact. So I can definitely relate to that. Another question I'm kind of curious on is you've been here about 9 months now. What have been, I'm sure you expected a lot of things, been CTO for a long time. What are maybe some of the surprises about the industry or BuilderTrend as a whole that you weren't necessarily expecting? Happy or sad, we can cut out if any bad ones.
There was a lot that I kind of expected of the company when I came in, and those have really all proven to be true. Just great people, hardworking. That comes from the top. The founders are really good people. I think we have a really good culture. My son goes to actually Pomona College, and so I'm a little bit of like a business book junkie and things. And so when he started going to Pomona College, I started looking at, oh, who are some people that have gone to Pomona College? And there's kind of a famous business, I don't know what you call him, business theologian named Peter Drucker, and he has this thing that culture eats strategy for business for breakfast. That's like one of his sayings. And so that was another thing I discovered, is that the culture looked really good from the outside, but I discovered it's really true. And that's hard to tell until you get somewhere. There's kind of a funny story. I had never been in the Midwest in my life. I'm Southern California, kind of born and raised. And I was coming out to kind of meet everyone before I had taken the position. And I flew into Omaha a day or a half day earlier. And I'm driving around Omaha trying to figure out what it's all about. And I saw a Western Outfitter, and I kind of knew people probably aren't wearing cowboy hats in the office, but I'm like, I'm going to get a cowboy hat. And you can't see this in the podcast, but I'm 6'9", so I'm already like a really big guy. And so I went and got a cowboy hat, and I wore it into the office to meet everyone the next day. People got a real kick out of it. That was very purposeful on my, you know, I was doing that purposefully. I want to see, is this going to be a place that I have a lot of fun working? And I got a great reaction, and kind of that was like my little test of like, is this a culture I'm going to really like?
Yeah. My first interaction with John is maybe one of my favorite moments at Builder Trend. Is I was in a meeting room, probably very frustrating. Everyone's stressed or yelling about something. And all of a sudden there's like frosted windows. I see this tall 6'9" shadow kind of lurk around outside, and you can kind of tell a silhouette of Dan Houghton. And I'm like, okay, someone's talking to Dan. And all of a sudden they open up the door and John walks in with a cowboy hat. And Dan, our CEO, goes, oh, Charlie, this guy's a big fan of the podcast. So he just wanted to say hello, which was a huge ego boost for me, because I'm in a room with other people that I look up to. I'm like, yeah, I'm a podcast fan or whatever. But no idea he was a potential CTO. I thought he was just a customer or something like that. So then I remember Courtney and Danielle and everyone in the booth back there, we were scrambling. We're like, oh, this guy might be our CTO. We have to get him some podcast merch, and gave you a hat, I remember. And ever since then, the legend of John Walker was born. And just this past Friday, he implemented our first ever cowboy cowgirl hat.
That's right. Friday. I was like, this thing has gone full circle.
It's gone full circle. We had everyone around the office wearing cowboy hats, and it was awesome.
So the podcast helped seal the deal.
That's what it sounds like.
Right.
So I never got any.
Without the building code, you wouldn't have joined Builder Trend.
I never got any referral bonus or anything for helping get John Walker here.
Yeah. But
we'll correct that. We need to correct that.
Yeah. I definitely know Charlie wrote down on his notes a t-shirt idea for Culture Eats Strategy. I saw him penning that down right away. So we're going to make building code Culture Eats Strategy branded swag. You can buy it on the store. I'm sure our marketing team is, again, shaking their fist at me. And then the third thing is the cowboy. I love it. It's like the cowboy barometer test.
Yeah.
You need to trademark this and write a book like, hey, I don't work at places where if I show up in a cowboy hat, they take it too seriously. Yeah. You know,
hey, life is short. I mean, we take what we do seriously, and we're all competitive people, and we want to make our customers' lives better, but we should have fun doing it at the same time. So that's what that's all about.
So we also wanted to get you on today, not just to talk about kind of your story and the fun culture aspect, but you're also stepping in and making some pretty big changes in our internal software and our platform for our customers. So one specifically that we wanted to talk about is some of the cost plus changes that we're currently working on to better support that workflow in our platform. Zach and I talk about cost plus versus fixed price contracts all the time on the podcast. So it's definitely something our customers have been looking for a long time, and something that I know you set your eyes on. Maybe before getting into that specific feature and some of the changes that we're doing, I'd love to hear your story of why we chose that. You mentioned that we talked to customers and listened to feedback a lot. I'm sure you didn't just sit down day one and say, this is what we're doing. I'd love to hear kind of the roadmap of ideation into implementation.
Yeah, sure. You know, you're going to hear a lot of like my sayings that I say, and people in the building have probably heard them. I feel like I say the same things over and over again, but another saying I really love is good is the enemy of great. And it's really about focus. You can only do so many things really well. And so when I first got here, I kind of looked at all the things we're doing and spent a lot of time talking to customers and listening to the podcast and learning. And it was pretty clear. I actually did 36 calls with customers that had been with Builder Trend and left Builder Trend. It was pretty clear that there were some themes there. And one of them was there's a couple features that they'd wanted for a long time that we hadn't delivered on. And You know, you want to also understand how many customers something's going to impact. And so I did some work there. I actually didn't do the work, but I asked for the research and I found out that 30% of our customers are doing cost plus jobs, at least some of them. And so it was something that was just really needed in our customer base. And so we really focused our efforts down on delivering that. It's interesting because there's kind of this rising tide lifts all boats. Like when we started to look at cost plus, a lot of cost plus is estimating, a lot of it's reporting, a lot of it's transparency for the homeowner. A lot of it applied also to fixed bid jobs. And so, you know, I think that part of the estimating experience has gotten better through our efforts on cost plus, which is a great thing. It's like a two ways to win.
When, as far as the team and kind of the focus and priorities, are you able to give us any sort of, I'd hate to call it roadmap, things that you're excited about from a product standpoint that our customers, because that they can get excited about, because you know this is something that as a customer success rep, taking meetings with clients and even traveling around the country and kind of getting into the cost plus situation, you're kind of like, all right, let's talk about it and figure out. And a lot of it does end up at the line of you do the best you can, but the product has limits. This is something we hadn't supported. Like, what can our customers expect that, you know, we can put a little buzz out there, knowing this is being aired a little later than when we're recording.
Yeah, well, I'm a under promise and over deliver person, and so I'm going to be really general here, and I know this is probably not going to satisfy people, but I'm just going to be up front.
A veteran product and tech member of that community.
We have a roadmap, absolutely. And there's actually a couple other things that people have asked for a long time that are right on there on our roadmap. The one thing I will tell people to expect, and I think it's a big change that we're making, is we are starting to move a lot faster in delivering features in a much kind of smaller increments and validating those with customers. And this is all based on like what's commonly called agile software development in the industry. And if you go back 20-ish years now, the way people used to build software, the software is kind of there's a little bit of science and a little bit of art to it. And so the way people used to do that is they would write these really rigorous specifications and then try to just stick to them. And the problem with that is, first of all, the world changes as you're building stuff. And I think this, like, there's a lot of carryover between building house and building software. The other part of that is that people I include me are really bad at actually describing a solution to their problem. We're really good once we have something to say, like, oh, I wish it worked like this, or I wish it did that, or you know, this isn't quite right. And I can tell you, like, there's real world examples where it's easy to see this. If you pick your favorite app that you use on your phone or something, you probably tell me 10 things that you wish it worked differently. But if I gave you some generic problem that you had and I said, tell me the solution, you'd have a real tough time. And so we're working in a much more iterative way now where we get a little piece out and run it by some customers and get them using it. And prior to releasing it, even we're doing that kind of work. And so actually, even if you look at Cost Plus, I was actually looking at it. Right now it's a set of 30 little increments like that, and there's another 20 or 30 already planned. But we'll do the ones that our customers say they really need and prioritize. And so that's the thing I can promise, is that we're going to iterate a lot faster in a lot smaller increments. And there's a thing that's kind of feels scary about that, and that's like, well, there's change coming to the product. And change is hard for everyone. Really doing small incremental changes, though, feels really good to people. And so I think actually the experience will be better than in the past, where it's been big or broad changes. It'll be smaller changes. And you kind of know this, if you have something you use every day, like people use BuilderTrend, some little thing changes and it's like, oh, that's like a nice little feature. I can adjust the columns now. But if the whole thing just flips all of a sudden, you're like, whoa, I need to relearn all of this. That's kind of our mechanism of avoiding this. And the whole agile software development thing comes from the Toyota way. It actually comes from manufacturing. And so when we're getting stuff in front of customers and they can say, oh, here's the next piece that we need, or here's how this could work better, We're kind of eliminating waste. We're not building stuff that they don't need in the way that in lean manufacturing they do that. I haven't done construction myself besides just some volunteer work, but I would imagine this is true. Like I know as a homeowner, your needs change even as you're building the house. You kind of real and it's really hard for me to say, like, you can kind of say, well, I need this many bedrooms and this many bathrooms, but it's kind of hard to say exactly how you want it to be until you've like start to see some framing go up. And that's why change orders is a big thing in the construction industry. And so there's a lot of analogies there that carry over.
Yeah, I think you hit on a few of them. You kind of beat me to the punch there. Like talking to customers, I'm always shocked by how much similarities there are between a construction business and a software business. You mentioned a couple of the customer experience. We had someone on a few episodes ago that even said they have a customer journey mapped out that they follow along in the no, new homeowner
It's
role.
come up a few times.
Yeah, there's those. Some of them even have like personas for different people they want to work with. Something you haven't touched on yet, but I know is a big, I wouldn't call it a change, but you were really instrumental in our focus as a business. And that's something that we talk about a ton with our customers. A lot of them, grew up in the trades world. They do some framing here or there. They were doing some remodels. They were building houses. Maybe they get an opportunity to do a development and they're spread really, really thin and they're not really the best at anything. And then they have this, at least the customers that we've had, kind of this realization of like, I need to pick something that I want to be the best at and really, really focus on that and learn to say no to different things. And I think that was a big shift that I've noticed since you've joined BuilderTrend is, yes, we're going to focus, we're going to make things better, but focus isn't just on what we're going to do, it's also on what we're not going to do. I'd love to hear you kind of expand on your mindset there because that's something I think our listeners and people in the construction space will really be able to relate with as well.
Yeah, that goes back to the good's the enemy of the great. Since I've been an entrepreneur and done a number of successful startups, a lot of times I'll give advice to entrepreneurs. And there's kind of this notion that when someone starts a company, doesn't matter, construction company, software company, whatever, that they fail because they're doing like bad things. And if you went to any company, like let's say you could predict in advance this one was going to fail, and then you went and said, hey, what's a list of things you're doing right now? I can tell you that that list would be all good things. You'd go like, oh, that makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. What companies that fail or don't have as much success as they could have tend to do is not to say no to some of those good things so they can do just the great things. And that's kind of the mindset that I took when I got here. And one of the first things I did actually when I got here was look at all the work we're doing and how we were spread across a number of things. And I could talk more about that, but I just really like cut that down to, and it's funny. I told the team this, and I think we're starting to experience it, and maybe our customers will too. It feels like we're moving faster and getting more done, even though I cut the list way down, like by
Right.
maybe a fourth or a fifth of what we were trying to do before. I hope that answers your question. I don't know. Is
Oh
that what
yeah,
you're?
absolutely. Like Zach, I'm sure you would agree. Like that's a lot of what our customers really struggle with is they're able to do so much and being able to really focus and being great at something. It's tempting to try to do everything all the time because you think the more you're doing, the more you're focusing on, the better, right? But a lot of times it's kind of the inverse relation there. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's one more element of it is that we took a look at, we have a lot of customers, and we took a look and said, who are our best customers? Who do we really want the product to be great for? And this is another one where the rising tide lifts all boats. It wasn't like we were going to abandon any customers we had or anything like that, but we just said, we're going to make this product, we're going to be opinionated here. We're going to, we want you're we're going to make a product that's great for a professional business that's doing about a million plus in revenue and that is really serious about growing their business and succeeding. And so a lot of how we focused was focusing on that particular customer. We have some internal names for the different bands of customers we have, and we call that one the established general contractor. And it's not just general contractors, but it's kind of a name we use internally, and we reference it all the time. And we say, hey, this is the work we're doing is to make the product great for these people right now.
I think that's the key is right now, like you touched on that. It's not that BuilderTrend as a business won't have other things that we work on in the future, but in order to address the biggest pain points, you do have to kind of draw a line in the sand. And it's really easy to forget that quality matters more than quantity a lot. And we actually end up creating more problems if we don't make sure we pass those quality checks. So I'm really excited long term because it's just a lot more sustainable for our customers who have been with us for a long time and, you know, have observed that, you know, we've been missing those key features. Like through the interview process, they highlighted it and they pointed it out. And now it's like, let's go deliver. And then we will always have that feedback channel because there'll always be problems to solve. But it's going to pay dividends in a lot of different ways. And it's just good business sense. Like you said, lessons of any new, any entrepreneur that I have friends who have started businesses and you can just tell they're like, I'm trying to do everything all at once by myself. It's like, that's not going to work. You know,
that's kind of the curse of the entrepreneurs. They're like optimists and like everything's possible and I can do all these things. And it's tough. And I think, you know, this, Charlie, you've kind of probably heard me say it, but I love to say, like, instead of no, I say not now, which is kind of right. Exactly what Zach just said. And that's the truth. It's like, not now. We're doing this more important thing now.
Yeah, I love that. Taking it a step further, we have this vision. Everyone's aligned on it. We're going to focus on these customers. We're going to move fast. We're going to iterate. The next step then is that I'd love to hear your viewpoint on is then, as you know, the leader of the product and engineering team, how do you get, you know, to rally the troops around this vision and ensure we actually execute on it? I know, again, relating it back to our customers, we just had someone on that was like, when they chose to use Builder Trend, even they believed in it. They knew it was going to take work. They knew it would be beneficial to their company. Some of their employees were kind of stuck in different ways, and you have to get people to buy in and ultimately follow to execute on that vision. I'd love to hear how your first, you know, 9 months here at Builder Trend have gone, and is there good feedback from the teams? Do people seem bought in? Are we moving in the right direction? And what do you kind of have to do to get there?
And name names too, if they're not, you know, this is a great forum to just shame them into, you know, execution if we need to.
You know, I think one of the challenges I have as a CTO is people don't tend to give me direct feedback. So I love when people give me direct feedback and I really encourage it.
Because you're so big, you know, you're
I'm intimidating. People say, like, it's funny. I get that all the time. I'll tell you a funny story there. When I first showed up, this is like week one or week two. And, you know, we get headshots because I'm going to go on the website or whatever. And, took, you know, our photographer took 5 or 6 pictures and said, hey, which one do you want? And I'm like, I don't know. I think I look bad in all of them, you know, who knows? Yeah. And I can't tell whether I look better in one. And so I went over to our internal communications team and I started asking them. And there was a gal there, and I won't name names, but she goes, well, in that one, you look like a used car salesman. And I had been there like a week, and I'm a CTO, and I was like,
holy, that is awesome. I love that.
I love this
person. Yes.
She's going to give me direct feedback no matter what. She doesn't care. And I really value that. And so that was great for me. But so knowing all that, I will tell you, like, I've had a lot of positive feedback from the teams, and I try to solicit very direct feedback, even if it's negative or areas I can prove. But the teams feel really positive about it. We've gotten a ton of positive customer feedback too, and the direction we're going. And that's the more important part. And so I feel like things are going the right way. The way I, you know, you kind of asked, like, what'd you do the first 9 months? I first spent a bunch of time. And so I had been at my previous company for 17 years. I was on my third CEO, and we had transitioned the whole executive team. And so I'd seen people come in and how they did it, and kind of observed as a longtime employee there and one of the founders. And the people that I really admired, and I learned this just really in that time frame, were the people that came in and listened and kind of figured out what's great about the company that I'm coming into. Because, you know, I know how to do everything that a CTO should do. I didn't really have a good sense of what things Builder Trend was already really good at. And so ideally, you bring someone like me in, and instead of just replacing the stuff we're doing that already well with a different way to do it, I'm additive. It, you know, we do all the things we do really well, and then there's some new things that we do well. You know, so it's like 1 + 1 = 3. And so I spent the first, and it was a real long time, and especially I'm a very action-oriented person. So it was really hard for me. And I very explicitly said it to everyone so they could hold me accountable. Because I knew it'd be a challenge for me, but I spent the first 6 weeks just listening and hearing what we do well and really understanding that and meeting with everyone on all the teams. And so it was pretty clear to me like where our strengths were and where our, you know, we could improve. And I started with, okay, what's our high-level mission as a product engineering organization? And it ties directly into our mission as a company. And so we actually came up with this kind of collaboratively with the whole team, and it's change the way the world builds by providing builders with innovative solutions to produce great homes so efficiently that it positively impacts housing around the world. And that's a little aspirational, obviously. But if you start with that mission and then you can kind of go down from there of like, here's what we're trying to do, and here's how we're going to focus on the things that matter the most. Here's how we're going to interact with customers. That's kind of how I started, is from the mission down.
Yeah, I love that. And I still remember your first time at Town Hall. You talked through your experience of like kind of coming in, experiencing Builder Trend, listening, going away and thinking about it, and then coming up with the action plan to execute. And your analogy was pickleball, which you had recently tried for the first time. You played it, you went away and you thought about it for a long time, and then you were ready to go out and do it again. But the difference, the way you presented it, is you were wearing a full pickleball outfit. People listening here think you're just gonna love outfits
Cowboys,
around the
pickleball.
office. What's
I
next?
gotta tell you, I don't consider myself a natural speaker, so I use all kinds of gimmicks or something I can to myself to distract from the actual talking.
Yeah, I loved it. I love it. And I still remember it was super funny because we recently had a new CFO hire as well. I think it was his first time on Town Hall as well. And he has to go up there and talk about numbers and Excel spreadsheets and things like that. And then we have the new CTO hire coming up there with a pickleball racket. I felt bad for Bob that his tough shoes are a tough act to follow after that. He needs some more gimmicks in there.
I
When are we
learned
going to
something from
show up in an
that.
outfit?
I had a headband on, and Dan, our CEO, was speaking right after me, and I put the headband on him just for fun. I learned that he really cares about his hair because he was not happy with putting my sweaty headband on his head.
You know those CEOs, they're all about the image, right? I just don't want to throw them off too much. I love it, John. And I was just saying to Charlie, when are we going to show up in a costume on the Building Code Halloween episode?
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, make it happen. Oh, cowboy hat. Oh, next episode, we got to have cowboy hats when John comes on next time.
Yeah, we need to step up our
Like
game a little bit. We can learn some lessons from John for sure.
Yeah, no shortage of ideas here. John's like, focus, boys. If you're gonna get quality out of this podcast, we need to have one idea, not 90 t-shirt ideas.
Yeah,
Just one
one.
that we actually execute on, Charlie.
You're right.
Mr. Walker, we are out of time, but this was a fantastic episode. You're always welcome back. Literally, I think you could pull any string and get on. At one point, probably take either Charlie or I's job if you wanted.
Yeah.
So, open invitation. Who knows? Thanks for being on the Building Code.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, John.
We just had the cowboy himself here on the Building Code.
Cowboy himself.
We're going to spread or the sheriff. Like, let's get a nickname
Sheriff.
going
Yeah.
for John. I
Yeah.
like to do that. I like to just make stuff up and then hope it gets around and then like comes back to me. Like, oh,
Hope
he
it
goes by the
sticks.
sheriff.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, he does.
Yeah, he does. We'll see if that gets going. I don't know. It seems like he's a big fan of bits. So he may enjoy that one. Also, I just realized we didn't talk about your bit
That's right.
at all on Bit
I
Fest.
tried to like, John, I was flashing your gift to me, a product engineering. This is the closest I'll ever get to being a member of the engineering team.
Yeah.
He gifted this to me because I negotiated it at a special episode teased for Builder Trend University. I won't spoil it any further. My exchange was I will take a cup.
And they're sweet cups. If you're not watching on YouTube, they're really nice. Is that, well, I don't want to give
Stanley.
any free shout out. Oh, you just did it. Really nice Stanley cup.
Oh.
Says product engineering, ruthlessly prioritize and iterate, obsessive customer focus, win together. Great missions. I'm jealous. I didn't want to
That was the
bring it
point.
up.
That's why I brought it.
Yeah, I did not get one. But it looks really nice. So enough about Zach's cup. Zach,
Gifted by John Walker.
what did you think of the episode?
He's so much fun to talk to. I've actually never talked to him about work. I've pretty much only talked to him about the Building Code and
Yeah.
other things. I just want to ask so many questions
Yeah.
and just keep spending time with him. So John, open invitation, just slide into those DMs. We can talk shop a little bit. But great perspective on everything, the technology, where we want to go, why we're doing the things we're doing, and just a lot to look forward to, I think, from the product world, yeah. Which is ultimately why people come to BuilderTrend. Like, they're using it to run their business. We've talked about these things for a long time, Cost Plus especially. I know, at least in the customer success team that I have the privilege of working under, they are over the moon excited to be finally addressing these with our customers. And we have great leadership that I feel strongly we're going to deliver on. And I can't wait to get it in our customers' hands.
Yeah. I mean, we really, the interview was so good. We really didn't even talk that much about the Cost Plus iteration that they're doing right now. But that's going to be massive. It's something that people have been asking for forever, talking about forever. And what I loved about the way he phrased it is, like, Cost Plus, quote unquote, isn't just one feature, right? We're improving the estimates features. We're improving the homeowner visibility. We're improving our reporting features. Like, there are a ton of, the rising tide lifts all boats. There's a ton of different things that people are going to see. And I also think our customers are going to be over the moon to hear that those are going to be coming in small incremental updates. So you're not going to log in one day and everything's going to be completely different. It's just going to constantly get better and better. And that's just one example. You know, his under promise over delivery didn't give us too many teasers, but I would just say,
I tried, ladies and gentlemen. I tried, you know, when I get there. The product people, you try to, like, tell us what's happening.
Yeah. But I think it's going to be a really, really exciting next few months for our customers and internally at BuilderTrend.
Yeah. Well, this is airing a little later than when we shot it, so we'll be able to kind of follow up with it. But John, make sure you come back on the Building Code.
Absolutely.
Maybe bring Charlie a cup.
Yeah, that'd be great. I think that about does it for Zach and I. Thank you for listening to the Building Code. Make sure to like, review, subscribe. And until next time, I'm Charlie Burtwistle.
And I'm Zach Witowicz.
See you.